what you're doing. And later on, switch on the TV. They give me a news, they give half truths to me. They give us wise, they feed us lies.
Uncensored Radio Free America.
Rick Adams is on.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Here we are, back again, by the grace of the Almighty, on this Monday night edition of Uncensored Radio Free America. And it's good to have you back in my company, and it is just great to be back. So, we welcome you and your participation tonight on the program. And as a matter of fact, we are very pleased to have back on the program, after a very long hiatus, none other than Mr. Eustace Mullins. Hello, Eustace.
Oh, hello there. Good to be back.
How have you been?
Well, I've been through a long siege of nursing homes and hospitals. But I'm out of men now. Everything's going all right.
You have had, I guess you've had a little bit of old age creep in.
Well, it really wasn't old age. I had old age before all this stuff. I've been in old age for quite some time.
Well, I don't care what it is. It's just great to have you back, as I say, after a long hiatus, because... Hey, we had trouble getting a hold of you, and I know there's an explanation for it, as well as your problems that have crept up. But now you have your private phone in your private room, your private suite, and here you are. I'm going to call you Private Eustace Mullins.
Well, I had a private home for the last 50 years,
uh-huh.
And I did great as long as I had that.
Yes, yes. You spent time in prison many years ago, St. Elizabeth's Prison, I suppose, right?
Oh, yes. I was there for 3 years as a man. I was never a prisoner myself when I went there today to visit him, because that was the only education I could get.
That's right. And
I've told my audiences ever since that I got my education in the insane asylum, which is absolutely true. I went to 8 universities, and I didn't learn a thing at any of them. But with 5 minutes of lesson found, I knew the whole history of the world.
And you were a follower of a particular a patriot at the time. And many people who haven't heard you on my program for a long time, haven't heard you at all until now, you, of course, you were a disciple of one of the great men of history, weren't you?
When he commissioned me to... write my expose of the Federal Reserve System. And he asked me to go to the Library of Congress and see what I could find out about the Federal Reserve System. Mm-hmm. I went down there and I looked around and searched the books. And I came back and told him there is no book on the Federal Reserve System. And he said, well, you better get busy and write one.
Mm-hmm.
And that's exactly what I did.
Well, now, there was an article, however, that was written at the time, I guess it was around 1911, in McClure's Magazine, The Seven Men, by John Moody. Do you remember that article?
Oh, yes, indeed.
The Seven Men in Wall Street, as he was writing at the time, now control a great share of the fundamental industry and resources of the U.S. Three of the seven men, J.P. Morgan, James Hill, and George Baker, were head of the First National Bank of New York, belonged to the so-called Morgan Group, and you wrote about them, John Rockefeller.
But what people didn't know was Morgan Group was part of the Rothschild Group.
That's exactly what he was starting to say. And
I'm glad you said that.
He was cut off, of course, too. But, you know, in 1910, he said that we see a plot to seize control of the money and credit of the people of the United States was planned
exactly,
by men.
I call it criminal conspiracy.
Yeah. I mean, you would think, right, that this would be one of the high crimes of the century, which would not escape notice of the media. And yet, it really has, because they own the media, too.
Well, the leading financial reporter at that time was B.C. Forbes.
Right. Hang on. Hang on, Eustace. Get a quick break, and we'll talk when we come back. Rick Adams, Eustace Mullen.
Get back at 'em with Rick Adams, the Radio Avenger, on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
And so here we are. We're back again with Eustace Mullins. What a surprise to have Eustace here tonight. And Eustace, I didn't want to interrupt what you were saying by the commercial, but please go ahead and continue to talk about what we were speaking about a minute ago. Are you there, Eustace? Did we lose him? Oh.
That faded out a little bit. I don't know.
Oh, there you are. We're talking about Ezra Pound, and we're talking about the Federal Reserve System, and, of course, the Morgan Group, the Rockefellers, and the Rothschilds in America, their agents at the time. And you wanted to add to that as a primer to what we were talking about the Fed. Go ahead.
Well, this weekend, I have a $500 million lawsuit in San Francisco.
You have a $500 million lawsuit?
A $500 million lawsuit in San Francisco. You see, I signed a contract to have a meeting at the Unitarian Church in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
And then they double-crossed us and reneged on the contract. So
and
we all had a studio. So, and in the uh-huh. And my amended complaint,
yeah,
which I just filed today, I pointed out that the Pound family is going to ask $10 million in reparations for false arrest and cruel and inhuman punishment,
mm-hmm.
because she was locked in the insane asylum for
mm-hmm.
15 years
mm-hmm.
without trial.
Right.
And with no evidence whatsoever against it.
Uh-huh.
And when we called the Department of Justice hand in 1958, they dropped the case against him and released him from prison.
Mm-hmm.
He should never serve one day in prison because they said he had no evidence. And never did have any evidence because he was charged with treason, giving aid and comfort to the enemy of a country in wartime. And there was not one shred of evidence. And Hoover flew 24 people from Rome, Italy,
mm-hmm.
To Washington to get statements against Ezra Pound, and not one of them could offer one word that he had ever committed treason.
Now, this was President Hoover?
J. Edgar Hoover.
Oh, J. Edgar Hoover.
Oh, we got lots of Hoover. I can give you any kind of Hoover you want.
Okay, now, and who was the enemy at the time?
The enemy was Germany during World War II.
Uh-huh.
In 1941.
Mm-hmm.
And so
isn't
Ezra was arrested in Italy in 1943
yeah.
and flown back to Washington and told he was under sentence of death.
Mm-hmm.
And
that
he was 15 years under a death sentence.
Wow.
Without trial.
He wasn't the only victim of Roosevelt, was he?
Well, this was a personal vendetta of Roosevelt against
mm-hmm.
Ezra Pound.
Right, right.
Because Ezra was a notorious anti-communist.
Mm-hmm. And Roosevelt was not.
Was a notorious communist.
Right. He was a communist. And, you know, you're not wrong about that at all. You're absolutely hitting
the
nail on
the first
head.
The only communist administration in Washington, D.C. was inaugurated in 1932.
Yeah.
And he brought every communist in the United States into the Washington government.
Mm-hmm.
And they stayed there until Joe McCarthy rooted them out in 1950.
And they never forgave him for doing that, did they?
Well, they've never forgiven him since.
Right, right.
He's been long dead, but he's very much alive to them.
Yes, yes. You got to keep hitting that target over and over and over again and doing what they claim he did, and that smear and vilify and so forth. So Ezra Pound was a patriot who was scandalized and called a scoundrel, and Roosevelt was a scoundrel who to this day is still in many quarters called a patriot. How do you like that, huh? What does the scripture say?
I think you're breaking on a thin ground right there.
Yeah, yeah. What does the scripture say? Evil is called good and good is called evil.
Yeah, that's true.
Speaking of that, now the Federal Reserve, the secrets of the Federal Reserve is something that you affixed your name to, didn't you?
Well, Ezra Pound commissioned me to write that book and paid me to write it.
Mm-hmm. But here you were exposing the New World Order at that time when a lot of people today are just catching on to the New World Order. Huh?
They're just getting on to it.
They're just catching on. You do you see that at your age today? You're 85 now, Eustace. You take comfort in the fact that today many people, including many young people, with the marvel of the internet and YouTube and all of these other inventions, are beginning to see what's happening to their country and their world?
Well, it's happening to the country and the world, and it's a wonderful thing. And to be vindicated, at 85 is better than being not being vindicated at all.
That's right. Absolutely. You have done yeoman work, Eustace. No doubt about that, what you have done. And, I mean, you know.
No, I don't. I have a false matter of modesty. I'm not going to say that this was a great thing, because it really was.
There have been many people who have tried to mimic you and copy you, too, huh?
Oh, yes. There's 18 plagiarized versions I tried now. And they're all making money.
Except you. You're not making any money, are you, huh?
Oh, I'm not making any money. I'm living on a small pension.
That is amazing. And here you are still with us today, Eustace,
still working
in 2007.
Away.
And are you still working on your 30-something books that you had started?
Yes, indeed. I've added about 8 more.
You've added about 8 more. Wow.
Well,
bless your heart.
They keep outreaching me. Before I can get them all finished, they come up with more.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have you've moved into a home where you can get some
Christian
help.
Christian retirement home.
Christian retirement home, huh?
Yes.
That's great, because the other way it was a little too difficult for you to get around.
It was a nursing a place.
Mm-hmm.
A nursing home.
Right.
And it was not a home at all. And there were nurses. I had nurses. Mm-hmm. But there was not even a doctor there.
Yeah, yeah. Now,
I saw it all from the inside. I went through 5 nursing homes altogether, and each one was more incredible than the last one. Uh-huh. So I got material for 3 more books just from that.
Uh-huh. You've come up with a number of very controversial points that you have stood by all these years. You've never... I don't think there's really anything that you have recanted, is there, Eustace?
Well, I've never been challenged on anything.
You've never been challenged, huh? Not
yes,
even by the great ADL?
Oh, the ADL has pondered over my stuff for 50 years, and they can't find one word that can attack me on.
Isn't that something, huh? And
yet
they were...
Because warned me to get it right from the beginning.
Yeah.
And luckily, I took him at his word, and I did.
Uh-huh.
I never heard words from anybody.
Now, were they the first organized group of the Rockefellers and the Rothschilds to attack you officially, or were there others?
Oh, yes, in 1952.
Mm-hmm.
They said I was a anti-Semite, and I was a rabid anti-Semite, foam to the mouth whenever Jews were mentioned. And they said I was a virulent anti-Semite.
Wow.
Now, most people don't know what virulent means.
Mm-hmm.
But virulent means that you're so violent that you can't even make sense.
Mm-hmm. That is very interesting. And, of course, as you say, they never backed up any of the charges against you.
Oh, absolutely not. I never... The book itself...
Well, since when does the ADL back up anything it says?
Well, they don't, because it's a hit-and-run technique.
Right. Right,
they leave
exactly.
The land in the streets and they drive on.
Exactly, yeah. A perfect illustration. You're right. They've done that to a lot of good people. And, of course, there's nothing
people.
New under the sun, is there?
And they ruin you in the process. They not only leave you injured in the street, but they take everything you've got as they run over you.
Now, what kind of contributions heavily, were there contributions from the Illuminists, the Rothschild family and so forth, the Warburgs, to help set up the ADL's influence here?
Oh, everything was set up deliberately, and it had a job to do,
mm-hmm.
and it's always done the job.
Yeah.
And it's nothing new under the sun. It's been there longer than anybody realized. And it's always done its job, and it's done its job very well.
Right, right, right. You also came up in with a conclusion that the Birch Society was a smokescreen set up by the Rockefellers.
Oh, yes. I know people were at the private meeting where the John Birch Society was set up by Nelson Rockefeller.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them are dead now.
Yeah.
But they told me about the meeting and told me why they set it up, and it was set up all the way. And Revel Oliver, a famous classical scholar,
yeah.
was one of the people who helped set it up.
Mm-hmm.
But he soon got the message, and he skedaddled out of there.
Mm-hmm.
And they mm-hmm. offered him money if he would not tell people why he left.
Now, what was the purpose of that, Eustace?
The purpose of it was that all the Rockefeller foundations, including the Brookings Institution, the Carnegie Foundation, and the Ford Foundation, were so openly pro-communist that they had discredited themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to get a reliable anti-communist group that they could sell to the American people. So they came up with the John Birch Society.
Mm-hmm. Very interesting. Okay, we'll be right back. Stay tuned. Eustace Mullins, our guest. You got a call? Come on now. Eustace can't be here forever. Give us a call. Question, comment, 800-313-9443 is the number. I'm Rick Adams, Radio Avenger.
Rick Adams is back. Live, uncensored, Radio Free America continues on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
And we are back now with the great Eustace Mullins. And Eustace, let me take a call or two here. Let's go to the phones. First off, Joe in Texas. Hello, Joe. You're on the air with Eustace.
Hello, Rick.
Good evening. How was Eagle Pass this weekend?
It wasn't good, Rick.
What happened?
Well, we had about 20 guys down there mm-hmm. carrying tow sacks
mm-hmm.
that probably, man, it was half their body size, and they had guys in black masks carrying AK-47s, Rick,
mm-hmm.
and plus we got flooded in up here.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, Rick, I'm really upset here, buddy.
Well, you know, we have Eustace on the line, and Eustace knows what's going on, our guest, and he knows about the border situation. Right, Eustace?
Oh, I do indeed. And I also know about Eagle Pass.
Yeah.
People were ordering my books from Eagle Pass, Texas, 50 years ago.
Wow. Isn't that something?
Where are you from, Eustace?
Are you from, Eustace? He's from Virginia.
Virginia. Well, the last 400 years, about my family has been invented in Virginia.
Mm-hmm.
Well, do you know what's going on down here?
I've been following what's going on. It's typical of outrageous government conduct, which is running our country into the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that people are drowning in the Rio Grande River down in Eagle Pass?
My
gosh. That are poor people? And do you realize at the same time we have drug smugglers and no telling what else they're carrying on their back? And we've got guys carrying AK-47s wearing black masks with the Mexican Army. Do you know that, Eustace?
Oh, yes. That's all been on the television today about how they're investigating the government for framing those two government agents and put them in prison.
Mm-hmm.
For shooting a drug dealer.
Mm-hmm.
Do you realize, Eustace, that the United States government and the Border Patrol agents and those people and some other people, which I won't name what groups are involved with, aren't producing the true facts about what's going on down there?
Well, I'm glad they're doing it. That's a great job.
Yes, sir. Well, I go down every weekend. I go down Friday nights and I come back Monday. and I use my own money as an American, and I go down there and I stay in a camper trailer and pup tents, and I work with the Cattlemen's Association of Texas,
yep,
and the Ranchers Association of Texas,
mm-hmm,
and I go down there, and this weekend, this past weekend, sir, we went down there and there was 20 men carrying packs on their backs, and they had 6 armed men with AK-47s wearing black masks. And,
is that,
sir,
yep,
I will tell you this, and I don't give a damn what the U.S. government says. I popped one of them.
You
and,
did?
And they were carrying drugs. I don't know what they were carrying, but when the U.S. Border Patrol Service does not back the border up and their fence doesn't, and American people like myself, an ex-vet Marine goes down there to have to protect our borders, I want to know, sir, what are we going to do?
Good
is
question
be,
for Eustace.
Eustace? That's a question to you, Eustace.
What are we going to do, Eustace? What's the solution?
Well, you have to fight an invasion. Anybody invades this country, you have to fight them. That's all. The only thing you can do.
Do we have a right, sir? Do you think I have a right to protect my border for my American people and our constitutional rights?
You have to protect the borders of the states.
Okay, because if we let these people in and the money gets in the wrong hands and politicians and representatives, Eustace, then we know we fail, don't we? And they're committing treasonous acts.
Well, you've been double-crossed by Washington, don't they? Let's,
they committed treason. Okay, Eustace, the only reason, sir, I'm saying this is because the United States of America committed treasonous acts going down in Central America and South America, and the DEA and the CIA was putting drugs in body bags. And Rick Adams asked me if I felt betrayed, and I was betrayed because I went in as a soldier for the United States of America, and I was lied to. And now I'm down to the border with my own money and other men, and I'm watching the border, and I'm trying to protect it when our own government won't protect it.
Let me ask you this, Joe. Who are these men in the masks? Who were they?
I believe, Rick, personally, from my experience, I believe they were Mexican Army. I believe they were cartel with the Mexican Army.
And you popped one, you said?
Well, I just shot, Rick. I'll just put it that way. It was about a 500-yard shot,
wow,
and I just shot because they had guns, they were coming across, and they were...
Did they return fire?
Yeah, they did, Rick. On this ranch that I was on, it's a 6,000-acre ranch.
Yeah, yeah.
There's another one that's a 3,000-acre ranch. There's another one, man, that's a, like, 5,334-acre ranch. And we go down there, 5 of us, and we're ex-veterans. And we go down there and we watch these ranches because they kill the cattle. And I understand people are starving, Rick, and that's a different story. But when you got people carrying things on their back, and that the United States Border Patrol doesn't acknowledge it, Rick, there's something wrong here.
And those
brother.
Are not the people that are starving. They're the real terrorists.
No, sir, they're not the people starving, Rick.
That's for
they're
sure.
People, when you got people carrying AK-47s
right.
wearing black masks and wearing black suits, Rick, they're not.
Right. Okay, we've got a break. If you want to hang on, you may, Joe. I appreciate what you've been doing. But we got to take a quick break, brother. We'll be back with Eustace Mullins. I'm Rick Adams.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Don't feel like the Lone Ranger. You've got the Radio Avenger on your side.
Hey, Rick Adams. Hey, turn your horse radio on. Rick Adams is on.
Ouch. Back. I want to remind you, don't forget the number for Republic Trading Group here that helps keep RBN circulating on the airwaves, and if you can obviously benefit from it, you have, and we don't want to see it disappear. We don't want to see the network go down, so we want to see finances continue to come in to support it, because unlike the big corrupt talk show hosts and managed voices of the organized conspiracy, if you will, there is no Madison Avenue advertising agency underwriting the propaganda. We don't have it. We have the truth, and that's why the truth shall set you free. Call them. Call Republic. Please remember the number, 800-691-7898. It's pretty easy to remember. My guest is Eustace Mullins. I think Joe from Eagle Pass here in Texas is still with us. Are you there, Joe?
Yeah, Rick.
Yes, Joe. You really have a heavy heart tonight. I can hear that.
Well,
I understand.
Rick, I don't mean to, like, I'm not trying, in Eustace, I'm not, sir, trying to discredit you or anything like that. It's that what I see on the weekends in poor people drowning, just trying to make a better living, and then at the same time, this is the one time I've been doing this before I got listening to Rick. And sir, I'm not trying to, in my spirit and soul and body and mind and Jesus Christ, I'm not trying to say anything, but it was very major, and you can't go on a situation like this with Border Patrol and tell them what's going on because of a situation with some of their agents. And some of us are Americans who are trying to protect this border, and I know the Minutemen are trying to do their part and things like that. I don't agree with some of the things that they've done with certain people, but when you have guys carrying AK-47s and wearing black, and you don't know if they're cartel and you don't know if they're Mexican army, and they're trying to come into our country, I mean, if those are weapons, if those are nukes, if they're drugs, if they're suitcase bombs, I mean, and Rick, God, it broke my heart, brother. I mean, I put a 500-yard shot over the border, and I hit one of them, and I don't know what they were carrying, if it was drugs or what, but thank God at least one of them didn't get in the United States, brother, you know?
Yeah, and, amen. You're doing yeoman work, but, people don't realize.
But at the same time, this, you know, I don't want to take a life, and because I've had to take lives like that in my past, and I just, you know, your guest, I hope you understand, sir, where I'm coming from. I don't mean to, I'm not trying to come across the wrong way. You know? Mm-hmm. Is he still there, Rick?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Eustace, you have any other comments on what Joe is saying?
Oh, yes. And our Virginia National Guard has been sent by the governor of Virginia to fight in Iraq, and our National Guard should be with you people down at Eagle Pass, Texas.
But Eustace, when I go down, and I talk to National Guard and two members, which I have in Eagle Pass, when I talk to members of the National Guard and I talk to members of the Border Patrol, and they tell me that I have more rights than they do, and they're members of an armed guard, like the National Guard, and members of the Border Patrol that's representing the people of the United States of America, and they cannot, man, their hands are tied, sir, and they cannot execute their authority without having to go to jail for 11 years. And then normal people like myself and ex-veterans go down there with our money out of our pocket and camp on the border in tents and eat MREs and C rations, meals ready to eat, in our own government. And you can't go to the National Guard and you can't go to the Border Patrol and say, hey, we shot somebody across the border and we have night vision that we use, sir. These five men that I go with, we use night vision. And we see these people carrying weapons, trying to get other people that are illegal aliens across our border. There's something wrong. The fence ain't going to work. The Border Patrol ain't going to work. The National Guard ain't going to work.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we supposed to do? And, sir, I'm asking you, in the name of Jesus, through the power of His Holy Spirit, with all my heart, what are we supposed to do?
Eustace?
Yes.
You have any final word for Joe?
No, I think it's a war situation there, and I hope we'll keep fighting and get a good conclusion to it.
Well, sir, listen, I don't believe in taking a life. I don't believe in taking a life in the guys that I hang mm-hmm. with that are ex-veterans.
What's that?
I don't believe in taking a life unless I feel invaded. And
uh-huh.
that goes back to our Constitution.
Yep.
And I appreciate your efforts, sir, and what you're trying to do. But the real battle is down here with guys and men like American citizens.
Oh, yeah.
The Minutemen.
You're meeting it face-to-face every single
weekend.
We go
down there, sir, and we don't have air conditioning. We don't stay in a room. We go out on the ranch, and we like 6,000. Mm-hmm. 5,000, 3,000 acres, and we go up and down it in intervals, and we take shifts, and we eat out of cans, sir, and we go down there because this is America, and we fought for it, and some of us made through it. I'm disabled, sir. I took shrapnel down in Central America, down in Honduras, Nicaragua, and San Salvador. And I saw, and I'm going to repeat this, CIA and DEA agents putting drugs in body bags and shipping them back to the United States to sell and man pay for politicians to be in office. And that's a true story, sir. If I lie, I fry. And that's my saying with God and Jesus Christ. And anybody, and sir, I'm just saying that this is going on. This is going on. This is the first time that I've been down there,
mm-hmm.
and I've helped, and I pulled people out of the river as well as the other men I've been with that almost drowned, and they're starving, and they want to come over here to be an American citizen, and they're doing it illegally, and they don't know it because their own government doesn't comprehend. And then you have people spending $6,000 and $8,000 and $10,000 to become an American citizen. And then you have people coming over the border like they are down in Eagle Pass, Texas, in El Paso, Texas, in Laredo, Texas. And that poor sheriff down there in Laredo, he's been like underarmed because these guys are carrying AK-47s.
Mm-hmm.
And Russian weaponry, man. And Rick, I'm sorry, brother. I love you, man. But this, what I saw this weekend,
yep.
broke my heart, Rick.
Sure, I know that, yeah.
Because I pull people out of the river, Rick.
Mm-hmm.
And it's breaking my heart, man. And we got our Border Patrol can't protect us. The National Guard says, you have more rights than we do.
Mm-hmm.
The Border Patrol of the United States of America says, we have more rights. Me, as a person, has more rights than they do, and they're hired to protect our border.
Mm-hmm.
There's something wrong here, man.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sorry, Rick. I love you, brother, but it breaks
okay.
my heart, man.
You don't have to keep saying it over and over. I understand that. But all I can say to you is
I'm going to tell you this, Rick.
You're a very courageous man.
Rick, I put a 500-yard shot, and I hit one of the SOBs.
Good.
And God forgive me. But I don't know what he was carrying on his back, but when I see other men, infrared,
Amen.
With high damn night vision, and I see him carrying AK-47, I know something's not right, sir.
No, and it's getting worse. It's getting worse, and I'm glad you called.
Rick, God bless you, sir.
Amen. Thank you, Joe.
Jesus loves you, brother.
Thank you, brother.
All right.
Well, you see, you heard tonight, Eustace. This is the real America.
Oh,
this
yes.
is where the
that's the real war.
This
fighting.
Is where the battle is now. It's right there in the trenches, isn't it?
It really is. And, you know, I believe the Latinos are planning to take back this country from the United States people.
Mm-hmm.
Because they are organized and they're determined to do it.
That's right. And you heard Joe. I mean, he doesn't have to apologize to us. We know what's going on, although many of us probably will never, well, we hope not, but we'll never really see it up front at the border. It'll be here in our backyard all the way through the United States.
Oh,
and
yeah.
By then it'll be too late, unfortunately. Too late because we have a treasonous Congress. We have a treacherous, treasonous president, vice president, who are warmongers and criminals and violating our land, our law, creating a dictatorship, and then selling down the river those who are protecting the borders, those who are doing the job. It is a tearjerker, and I certainly can sympathize highly with men like Joe, who were very courageous, as you know, Eustace. These are
well,
the
America's
courageous.
America's always depended on fighters like that since 1775.
Amen. These are the sons of liberty.
Absolutely.
Right here.
And they're
right in our backyard.
All
right, let's move along. 1-800-313-9443. And let's take another call. We have Ernie in Virginia. Hello, Ernie.
Good evening, Rick.
Yes, Ernie.
And good evening, Eustace. I'm sorry to hear about the situation on the border with Joe. In response to his question, what should we do? We should see that the President and Congress build the two-tier fence. The 13 miles that have been built out of the 800 miles that Congress approved, it's only a single layer of fence. They're not even complying with the two-tier fence, which is needed, according to Joel Skousen, who understands military preparation and strategic defense systems, and he strongly recommended in his World Affairs briefs many times the need for a two-tier fence. But I saw something very troubling tonight. I watched the Democratic debate, and there were questions fielded via YouTube and American citizens calling in. CNN selected the questions. There were 3,000 submissions. And what did we hear about? Oh, gay rights type of questions, diversity, gay marriage.
Yep, yep.
Iraq, what to do in Iraq, national health insurance. Nothing to address the treason that's been going on. Nothing to address the bankruptcy of the country. Nothing to address the treason by this administration. Nothing to address, really to address, NAFTA, CAFTA, free trade areas of America, nothing about SPP, nothing about the North American Union, nothing about the upcoming conference in Quebec, Canada, at the Le Chateau Montebello Resort in Quebec, Canada, on August 20th and 21st. Mm-hmm. Again, another treasonous meeting violating the U.S. Logan Act. It was very, very disappointing to see almost a fantasy play. This was not, there was a disconnect between reality, what's going on in the country, the key issues affecting our national sovereignty and our country's future, and this spin machine. I would add, Rick, the controlled national major media as one of the biggest problems we have in the country.
No doubt. We've been talking about it for, what, for 15 years now I've been talking about it.
Absolutely.
On this show. I mean, give me a break. There's nothing new. You didn't expect the media to behave differently tonight, did you?
Oh, not at all, but no. There was a lot of play and a lot of advertising prior to this debate tonight that the people were going to participate and it would be a different type of debate and the candidates would be responding to the American citizens. But these were pre-selected questions. It was rigged. I'm sure out of 3,000 type questions were raised about the things I've been talking about.
Oh, positively they've been sent in. They've been all filtered right out. And that's now, why
Eustace, have you been following the SPP or the North American Union and the incremental step-by-step for this regional government that the globalists have in mind?
Have you, Eustace? I'm sure you've been up on some of it, haven't you?
Oh, yes, I've been following everything. I picked up the morning paper this morning, read the Washington Post, and it said this coming election, Hillary Clinton has 60% of the votes already.
Oh, no.
We don't need the election.
We don't need the election, but it's part of the tag team, the continuation.
It's all a done deal.
Yeah, but it's a continuation of the Bush-Clinton CIA-linked globalist party machine tied back to the Rothschilds. You talked about the Rothschilds. And the international globalist bankers. And they're,
oh, yes, they've already made up their minds.
Oh, yes. But they're the players. Pre-select who their candidates are. It's not the American people. Mm-hmm. They pick and choose who the candidates are.
They do indeed.
And this is just a wasted exercise of our resources and the American people's time.
It's a diversion.
It's total diversion.
That's all it is. It's a diversion. Well, the Democrats, the kind of candidates for presidency, had their big debate tonight. And they said that Obama won hands down over Clinton.
Well,
Hillary really lost the round.
Yes. Well, I watched the debate, but Clinton's going to win. She's pre-selected. But if she doesn't, Obama's also back with the same crowd, and so is John Edwards. He's a hand-picked guy of the Bilderberg Organization, too.
Oh, yes.
We have no real choices here. And other than Ron Paul from Texas, who's not owned by anyone.
He offers it out. He's the only one that does.
Exactly.
You know, I voted for him when he ran for president for the Libertarian Party 20 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I did, too.
Well, unfortunately, we have no, with mainstream media rigging this whole process, and the major media is not even discussing, and this was very troubling, too.
Sure.
I know Joe expressed a lot of concern.
Oh, yes.
With this executive order on July 17th.
You want to hang on?
Yes.
All right, hang on. You have a lot to say, as well as our other callers. Stay tuned. 1-800-313-9443. Eustace Mullins is our guest tonight. I'm Rick Adams. We'll be right back. Eustace Mullins, and we also have Ernie on the line. Ernie, go ahead.
Okay. I'll try to wrap this up, Rick. Last week, Rick, you brought to our attention this executive order that President Bush had signed on July 17th, which would take assets and private property possibly away from those who opposed the war in Iraq. This was the latest. I don't see how the president has the authority to do something like this. Where is the statute? And D.V. Kidd, who has been on your show, has a very interesting article.
I have it, yes.
Right, on newswithviews.com.
Mm-hmm.
And, but let me go back one additional step. What we have here is an administration that's out of control, and there was a vote not too long ago in the Senate where the Senate gave the president authority to, if necessary, to go and attack Iran to defend our forces. I think the vote was 97-0. Well, as we have witnessed our military, our U.S. Army being destroyed, meanwhile, Joe goes to Eagle Pass. He sees the invasion continuing, weapons and drugs being brought into the country. Our border security guards are being railroaded if they take any action. Mm-hmm. The National Guard has no authority to do anything, so we're just sitting ducks here, and we're watching this right before our eyes.
Yes.
And then we see the opposition party doing nothing.
And as you point out, the most important ingredient in this is the controlled mass media. If they were honest and they were not corrupt and they were not overtaken by the powers that be, the same powers behind all of this melange, no question about it, the American public would be informed at least and could be motivated heavily to take up action against this government, because this government really is a renegade government. It came to power really by becoming enthroned, as you know, in the first election, and again in the second, there were questions about the honesty and integrity of the whole system, the election system. So,
absolutely. But, Rick, why is the media being solid on this executive order?
They have to.
I guess. They're totally
They have
controlled.
No choice. They have. If any reporter and any anchor decides, for instance, to do a story, a piece on this tonight, he or she would have his head on the chopping block. They would no longer be employed by that network, and you know it.
Oh,
I know
absolutely.
It. Eustace knows it because he saw it. He lived it.
Right. We have the suspension of habeas corpus. We have
right.
no due process. We have our judiciary system that is corrupt. Mm-hmm. We have a country that is an administration that has continually violated the rule of law.
Mm-hmm.
And what does the Democrats in the Congress do in response to the November election?
Nothing.
Nothing. They have taken impeachment off the table, and both of these people should be charged with all kinds of crimes.
No
violations
question.
Of the U.S. Constitution from A to Z. Thank you, Eustace, for all your work in the past. Enjoyed speaking to you.
And the present.
And the present.
Okay.
Keep it up.
All right. Bless you. Thank you.
You.
Eustace, go ahead. You're about to say something. Give you a chance to speak now. Go ahead. Eustace.
Well, I kind of lost a trend there.
I know. Well, Ernie got worked up, and rightfully so. Joe and Ernie, you know, I've reached the point where I have to calm myself down. I cannot get excited on the air as much as I have been occasionally because it's not going to do me any good. Not going to do me any good at all to get excited. You know, it's not good for our health. It's not good for any of us to get excited to the point where we just drop, you know.
You have to control ourselves. You can do anything.
right. And we have to realize that, you know, God is on his throne and he is going to do certain things at certain times that we have no control over, but we can at least do our share, tell the truth, be the prophets of our time, warning the public of what's to come. And that's all we can do. And you've done that for a long time. Eustace, can you stay a bit more?
Oh, well, I believe that the country is reviving.
All right, stay with me.
You can see
stay with me a
country.
Little bit. We'll be right back in 1 minute.
The Radio Avenger. Gets even better.
Live. Uncensored. Radio Free America. Another exciting, informative hour is warming up. Rick Adams is on fire.
Okay, all right, I'm back. Eustace, I don't want to keep you up too late tonight because I know, you know, it's a burden to you, but can you stay for a little bit more?
Oh, yes, indeed. I want to tell you that I'm working on a whole new series of books, including a defended biography of Joe McCarthy.
Right.
And an old friend of mine who was in the McCarthy organization in Wisconsin
right.
called me today. I hadn't heard from him for two years. He said he's gotten a short biography of McCarthy up, and he's sending me a copy right away.
What's his name? Can we mention him?
Pardon?
Can we mention his name on the air? His identity. Can we say who he is?
Oh, his name is Earl Denning.
Oh, Earl Denning?
Yeah, Earl Denning.
Oh, okay.
He's
all
a
right.
long-time patriot.
Yes.
And, in fact, I've had meetings with him in Wisconsin
right.
over the last 25 years.
Bless his soul, and yours, too. My goodness. Let's take another call here. Henry from Connecticut is on the airwaves. Hello, Henry.
Hi. Hi. How are you doing? Greetings, Eustace. Nice to hear you again.
Yes. You got to speak up a little bit louder for
okay.
Eustace.
Okay. Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, greetings, Eustace. It's nice to hear you again.
All right.
I don't
he can hear you.
Okay, maybe he can. Okay.
Ask him a question or make a
all right.
comment.
No, what I was, no. All right, I'm going to back up a little bit to the first caller of call you had there, Joe.
Yes.
From Texas.
Yes.
Okay. Now, you know, to show you how sick this country really is, I called earlier today another guy. I think his name sounds like Chertoff, but it's not Chertoff, but it's OFF.
Mm-hmm.
And he was describing and telling me how difficult, how much crap he had to go through with his wife, who comes from a country, Scotland, legally want to come here. And also the problem that his girlfriend or his wife's son has, who's like a little younger than me. He's in his 20s. And he came here legally, went back over there, and he tried to finish his college. But anyway, to show you how it is, just how sick it is, You know, they got to go through crap, right, from someone from Scotland or something. But yet we can have all this stuff coming over here with AK-47s and machine guns and masks and ready to blow people away. Now, as far as that guy Joe, if you're out there listening, if you did shoot him, if you did kill him, popped him, whatever, good. Mm-hmm. Actually, that's perfectly legal. Because under the Constitution, if it's 500 yards away or whatever it is, as long as it's even on that side, if it's on your side of the border, but even if it's on over to the Mexican side of the border, it clearly says in the Constitution you are, which American people do have a right to.
Well, this is a ranch they're on now, mind you.
Oh, right, I know, but he
fired.
This is private
property.
Right, right. But see, even if they didn't, even if it wasn't directly on his property, if they're coming into the country and you see them yards and yards, a 1,000 yards away, if you've got binoculars or whatever, and they're coming armed, you don't know what's going to happen. And under the law, you do have a right to definitely shoot to kill armed invasion. And not only that, I've heard a story where, now, what if he didn't fire? And these people came into country with the AK-47s. It could have been agents from La Raza, funded by Ford and Rockefeller, whatever. Take his wife or girlfriend, call her a white bitch and rape her. Kill the kids or whoever else is out there. And, you know, and think like the sicko Morris Dees and think, well, because he defended himself against this third world crap coming in with guns, there should be some lawsuit where he goes in court and has his ranch taken away from him and handed over to these armed men with the AK-47s and masks. I mean, that's how sick and stupid this country is. Then you hear the other guy talking tonight about the Democratic election, Democratic debate thing. The only Democrat out there that talks a little bit of sense outside of Ron Paul, I know he's Republican, is Chris Dodd,
right,
and they're shafting him.
All right. Do you have anything else you want to bring up?
Yeah. Well, that's it.
Okay.
But just show how sick it is.
Sure.
We're talking about diversity.
Yep.
And there's so much other stuff going on.
Okay. Yes, sir, Henry. We got to run. Thanks for the call. Be right back with more.
Hitting them pretty hard. And knocking them right out of the park. Rick Adams is on. Right on. On base, on point, on RBNLive.com.
And we are back now, ladies and gentlemen. Rick Adams with you. And Eustace Mullins, are you still there?
Oh, yes, I'm still here.
Good for you. All right. I'm on my rocking chair here waiting for the rapture, you know.
Well, I'm in the rocking chair.
Yes, that's what that squeaking is. No, you know, Eustace, though, as you've seen, the frustration with the audience here tonight with this fall of the empire
we're
witnessing. It is a fall.
It's a fall. But the Romans went through that, and we're going through it, too.
Yeah. Now, what you were saying earlier, though, you do feel some sense of hope, and
I want
you to talk about it. Tell us why. Why do you see that?
Well, it certainly is not logical, because logically I should be throwing up my hands in despair,
right,
and then with all I've been through the last 4 years,
mm-hmm,
it's even worse. But, no, I think there is a reawakening in this country.
Yeah.
I think the American people, and I've always felt confidence in the American people, because all the propaganda and all the betrayals,
mm-hmm,
all the Alger hisses that we've had have not affected the American people that much. I think the American people are sound in character, and I think they'll come through again.
And you have said before, you know, you see this this system here, and you see the neocons, if you will, the neocons, these Israelis that run American foreign policy, you see that everything is backfiring on them. Do you still feel that way?
Oh, yes.
You feel that things are going to start turning against them?
Oh, I think it's they're overextended.
Is that
right? I think it's inevitable.
When you say overextended, Eustace, what do you mean specifically about
that? Well, they're overconfident, because,
mm-hmm,
they're pushing the same goals,
mm-hmm,
which are pushed since the Middle Ages. They have nothing new to offer.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the the worst part of their attraction.
Mm-hmm. And this,
how can they get young people into this so-called liberal view when they have absolutely nothing to offer?
What about Iraq?
Iraq is Iraq is finished now.
But I guess we finished it off.
Get into Iran.
Yeah.
So they're trying to elect Hillary president, and they put the Zionists have put $50 million into Hillary's campaign because they want Hillary to be the one to Iran and start World War III.
Mm-hmm. Now, Mike Piper has said that he thinks there are some big plans. There are some plans for Mr. Lieberman from Connecticut, Joe Lieberman. Do you feel that that is the case, that in the final analysis he's going to be part of this political equation? Eustace?
I don't know Bill Lieberman in Connecticut.
No, Joe Lieberman. Joe Lieberman, the senator.
Oh, the senator? Oh, Lieberman.
Lieberman, yeah.
Oh, yes, Lieberman.
Right.
Oh, yeah, nothing to expect from him anyway.
That's putting it mildly.
He's deserted his own party.
There you go. You got the guy. Well, you know, the thing is, him and Bill Richardson and all of these others that are, stalking in the background are all, it's wait and see. But I think it's all a ruse, to be perfectly honest with you. My fear is that George Bush is not going to relinquish power. Quite frankly, he is a dictator. He wants to be the dictator of the world, and he thinks he's the man that can do it. And God forbid, now with all these directives and signing statements that he has put forth, he intends to run the world, and he intends to extend his stay, regardless of what the Constitution said. Remember, he said that the Constitution's nothing but a GD piece of paper. You see that, Eustace?
Oh, yes.
I think he intends to pull it off. George Bush pulls a coup d'etat like he has in the past and says, hey, sorry, we got to cancel the elections. We have terror. We have emergencies plaguing our land. Just give me a little more time. Let the surge work, see?
That's what he does for all of them, more time in Iraq.
There you go.
He's lost every day he's been in Iraq.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like the last days of Rome and Nero. It sounds almost like Caligula, to be perfectly honest with you, really.
Caligula is a very good
analogy.
Prototype.
Yeah, prototype, exactly, and I think that's what he really is. He is a Caligula of our time. And
yes, he really is.
I mean, the only thing he hasn't done is appointed his horse a consul. Let's take another call here for Eustace Mullins, our guest. Doug from Texas, hello.
Hi, Eustace. Eustace there?
Yes, he's here. He's a little hard of hearing now. Go speak up.
Okay, we were talking about Caligula and Ron Paul is Cicero.
Uh-huh.
You're familiar with him, right?
Of course. Yeah. Who isn't familiar with Ron Paul on this network?
Well, I was asking Eustace if he could see the analogy between Ron Paul and Cicero,
mm-hmm.
not Caligula.
Yeah.
You know.
All right. Eustace, do you see Ron Paul as a Cicero? Do you, Eustace?
That's not coming through. I think we got a bad connection.
All right.
Ask Eustace if he's ever read Taylor Caldwell's Cicero, Pillar of Iron, and sees the connection between Ron Paul and Cicero.
Can you hear that, Eustace? Can you hear it at all? Eustace?
No, I'm not getting anything at all.
Can you hear me, Eustace?
I can hear your voice.
All right. Do you see any relationship between the Cicero mentioned in Taylor Caldwell's works and Ron Paul? You know, Ron Paul is a Cicero. Do you hear me?
No, I don't understand that.
Okay. Well, I don't know. He's
okay, Rick.
But
you
go ahead.
Ron
move
Paul
on.
Paul,
move on.
What is the reference to Ron Paul?
Yeah. Oh, he didn't get the reference. Okay.
Okay, Taylor Caldwell is one of the few people that didn't plagiarize Eustace.
Exactly.
He might be able to get that, right?
Of course. Of course.
But he's coming out with 8 new volumes, and I'm sure that all of his plagiarists are just sitting back.
Oh, come on. Now, nobody plagiarizes anymore. Come on.
Well,
you know that. Who steals today? Come on. Who steals today, Doug?
Very few people, but I can only think of maybe, let's see, G. Edward Griffin and
Biden.
Yeah, whoever else.
Right.
Ted Kennedy. Anybody else in the world. Mm-hmm. All we have is the rest of the world to work with.
Yeah, they do like to criticize, the truth, but they also like to emulate men like the guy we have on the line right now, Eustace.
Right.
All right. Well, I think Eustace can hear that.
Face of the earth.
Eustace is 85, you know.
Right.
So, hey.
He's just a little bit younger now.
Yeah.
I was 85 about, 12 years ago, I think.
You're doing well. You're doing well, Doug. Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Thanks for your call.
All right.
Well, Eustace, anyway, he mentioned Ron Paul again and Taylor Caldwell. Of course, you remember Taylor Caldwell, right?
It's been quite a while.
Novelist, Taylor Caldwell, the captains
of the... Oh, Taylor Caldwell,
Yeah, right. She wrote about Honoria and ancient Rome, and
she was very familiar with all that.
Yeah, did you know her personally?
No, I never met her.
You never met her, huh?
I met many people who admired her work.
Well, she's one of the pillars, if you will, of literary establishment, literary accomplishment.
Sure,
I should
there was
say.
That.
Because she was anything but an establishment figure, you know.
She never was.
No, because whenever she wrote under her name, the New York Times critics would pan her works, and they hated her because she was an American patriot. She was a friend of McCarthy's, by the way, also. And then when she wrote under pseudonyms, then her works were praised and given quite adequate reviews, you know. That's how they operate, you know. The media bosses. No doubt about it, Eustace. But anyway, Eustace, we're winding down now to the break, and I don't want to keep you because I know it's been a long day for you.
It's been my first talk show for quite a while.
It has been, yeah. But I'm so happy that we reconnected.
All right, we got off to a very good start.
Yes, we did, and we will, Lord willing, we'll do it again. But take care of yourself.
Certainly will.
And the Lord will take care of you. Yes. Yes, it's been my pleasure, Eustace, and we will be reading your books on the Internet where you are copiously written about. Thank you, Eustace Mullins.
You're welcome indeed.
And we will talk again.
Very good.
God bless. All right, brother. Thank you, Eustace. Well, there you go. Eustace Mullins, ladies and gentlemen. And we spent a good almost an hour and 20 minutes together, and I don't want to keep the poor fella because, hey, he is, you know, he's getting up there. And let me tell you, I'm never going to see that age, and I'm having trouble now where I am. So you could understand that. But anyway, it was a good interview, and I'm happy that we did get together after all this time. Those of you who don't know Eustace and you're younger, you have access to the Internet. Do some research right now. You type in the name of Eustace Mullins. How do you spell Eustace, you ask? Eustice, Eustace Mullins, Mullins, and you will find a whole new world open up to you, younger people out there who really, like college students who call this show, really want to know what's going on. Well, it all happened. It all happened way before you were born. Eustace was there living through history, not writing about it. That's the difference. We'll be back with more. And we are back, ladies and gentlemen, now. Rick Adams is with you. I think do we still have him on the line? Doug, are you still there? He dropped off. All right. Well, I'm glad that at least he checked in with us from Texas, from the or should I say from the Mexican corridor, if I will. I'm sorry about that, Doug. Anyway, as you know, ladies and gentlemen, London is having quite an incredible feat right now. As you know, the floods that are overtaking the city of London in England, in Tewkesbury in central England, of course, is just absolutely amazing. The torrential rains that have caused these flash floods is the worst flooding since 1947. My goodness, it is just incredible. You know, we have a lot of listeners living in England right now who listen to us via the internet and shortwave, undoubtedly, and hopefully you're okay out there, and things are you're keeping your head above water, so to speak, and literally as well. So it is just amazing. We do have a great deal of support from England, and also people who have left England here in America today. We're grateful for them, and they listen and support this program. Let me go back to the phone with Doug. Now, Doug, you are back.
Yeah.
Yes, Doug.
Oh, it is unfortunate that we didn't have a very good connection with Eustace.
Mm-hmm.
One of the finest men that,
yeah.
You know, I just know him by his words.
That's
talked
right.
to him a few times.
By your words, you shall know them.
Right. The fruits.
That's right.
And your whatever.
Works. That's it. His works are good works.
Oh, yeah.
Unfortunately for the enemies that he has, and he has many of them, because if you're not doing the work of the Lord, you don't have enemies. There's something
right.
wrong.
Right.
There is something wrong, right?
You're absolutely right, Rick. And
amen.
I might, you know, there might be something wrong with that because I have a lot of enemies and I don't think I've done much work.
Mm-hmm.
But I have a bunch of cats and dogs and just another. But you have read Taylor Caldwell's Pillar of Iron.
I didn't read that particular work, to be honest with you,
didn't.
But I have read several of her volumes. She had written so many, as you know.
Well, yeah. And I've read every single one of them.
Well, good for you.
And
good for you, Doug.
And I encourage you to read that because that is a... it's like reading about Ron Paul today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you have the Roman Senate, the corrupt, the, you know, the wackos. You have one island of truth in a sea of... insanity or whatever, and it's history has repeated itself
mm-hmm.
with Ron Paul.
He is the statesman of our time, I think.
Right.
Hey, nobody is perfect, you know. He's not perfect. Don't expect him to have a halo over his head, but I'll tell you one thing. He is head and shoulders above all else in that political prison called Washington, that stench-filled zoo.
Stench-filled zoo, is that what you said?
I said the stench-filled zoo.
Oh, yes. Stench-filled zoo.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, yes, it is a
okay,
stench.
Okay, well.
All right, sir?
Yeah, that, that is, you know, without getting any more graphic than that, I guess that's about the best way you could describe that.
As much as I can on the radio.
On Earth.
That's right. Yes.
Right.
Within decency standards. Yes.
Yeah, we have decency standards.
Well, I do. I have to. Anyway, I have to.
We've been taken over by our little friends, the Islamo-fascists.
Oh, you can see it.
Have turned our, you know, radio and television and nothing but smut puddles or whatever. But.
Mm-hmm.
And I just wish people could wake up and start studying the Quran to understand what these evil Islamo-fascists are trying to do to us.
Yes, it's in every other page. There's a reference to the need for pornography.
Right.
There you go. See, you're catching on.
I'm learning.
You're learning.
We have some kind of wacko here in Austin that puts on the neocon little... And to save the world, you need to read the Quran, their version of the Quran or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And I used to be a, some kind of an idiot and think, well, you might want to study the Talmud a bit to find out what the problem is, but they've corrected that little malady that they convinced me that I was completely, bereft of any knowledge what the problem really is. It's really the Islamofascists that...
Yes.
Iraq's...
That's right.
I think Iraq's Navy was on the high alert to come over here and attack us, right? And they'd be followed by their Air Force.
Thank goodness for the Bush administration saving us in the nick of time.
Well, we have to be saved. Somebody's got to do it.
And it might as well be.
It's a rough job.
That's right. That's
right. It's a rough job.
It is. And you know what they say about the rough get going? When things get tough.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm glad you are an Islamo-fascist opponent. We definitely need more of you.
They drafted me in the nick of time because I'm a passionate person, Rick. And
yes, I can see that. Well, thank you, Doug. It's time
all
for
right,
a break.
Have
yourself a pleasant night. And look under your beds before you go there.
Certainly will.
Okay, check now. Certainly. Check for the veil.
Uh-huh.
All right, thank you. Appreciate that. We'll be back with our final half hour of tonight's program and your calls with the Paul Revere of Talk Radio, right here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Rick Adams.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network because you can handle the truth.
Rick Adams is back.
Radio Avenger, the Paul Revere of Talk Radio.
All right, we're back now in this final half hour, and our number here is 800-313-9443. Those of you who still wish the book wrongly blamed the real truth about 9-1-1, the London bombings, and much more, who ultimately carried out the attacks, who benefited the most? Was it the Islamofascist or was it not? And who were those people that had already planned to take America militarily into the Middle East with another war and another war and another war? Are they the same? You bet they are. Get the book. Get the book. Please, if you must do anything or read anything this year, get the book, I'm telling you, Wrongly Blamed by Dr. Kasim Khalil, Dr. K. And you can order it right now if you wish. You can definitely order it through PayPal, www.paypal.com. If you're registered, easy. If you're not, it's just as easy to register. And get your account begun, and then you email me with $10 plus $3 media mail shipping. All right, and that's Rick458, R-I-C-K, 458, Rick458, at WEBTV.net. At WEBTV.net, I hope that virtually all of you now have received or are receiving your copy. Those of you who have ordered them within the last 2 weeks, and you will be getting them if you have it. We do have delivery confirmation slips. By all means, order the book, Wrongly Blamed, over 400 pages of documentation for what Dr. K has written. You need to be armed with the facts. You're not going to get it, as we've shown tonight, you're not going to get anything from the major media, which are part of the deception of these times in which we live. Let's go back to the phones, 800-313-9443. Joe, hello, Joe. Joe Church.
Hello, Rick.
Yes.
What are you referring to, the Kenite news media worldwide?
Yes.
Yes,
I am.
It's all written in the scriptures.
Yes, it is. Yes.
Rick, I'd like to talk about the floods, if I could.
Yeah.
You notice there's floods both in England and in Texas going on right now?
Yes, other parts of the U.S. as well, yes.
You know, there's a strong connection between Texas and England.
Yes.
I don't know if we talked about this in the past.
Mm-hmm, but, I have, yes.
Whenever royalties come to the United States, usually they stop in Texas.
That's it.
There's a strong connection there. And it just so happens, you know, many times in the scriptures, the Father will give us in the physical heads up so that we go to the scriptures and look at those passages where those scriptures pertain. And I'd like to read a couple if I could.
Mm-hmm.
From the book of Job, chapter 38, verse 22 and 23. Hast thou entered into the treasures of snow, or hast thou seen the treasures of hail, which I have reserved against the time of trouble, against the day of battle and war? You see, in the book of Revelation, it mentions 180-pound hailstones, which will fall on two locations in the earth in that day. And you see, when the kings of the earth battle against the Heavenly Father, the weather is usually the way he's going to deal with it, as he has in the past many times. And there's a book, some scripture over in Revelation chapter 12 that talks about a woman and a flood. And I'd like to read those passages.
Sure.
Revelation chapter 12, verse 13. Verse 12, let's start with. You know, there comes a time when Michael cast Satan out of heaven in the book of Revelation, as he did in the first world age. But in chapter 12, verse 12, therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe unto the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he had a short time. You see, the heavens rejoiced because Satan was kicked out by Michael to this earth. And when he comes to this earth, there is going to be a flood, a great flood worldwide. But it's not going to be a flood like Noah's flood. It's going to be a flood of lies. And already, if you look close, you can see the flood of lies already starting. But it's even going to be greater than it is now.
Mm-hmm.
With that in mind, these next four verses. And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman, which brought forth the man-child. And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for time and times and half time, from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth as a flood, water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. You see? This flood is not a flood of water, as we're seeing in England and Texas. It's a flood of lies.
Mm.
And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. It was a flood of lies, and the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of the seed. See, many seeds are being planted out of Texas and out of England at this time. And the serpent is definitely not happy with that witness.
I
so
guess
this is
not.
Just a small. This is just a small repercussion on a physical level.
Exactly.
However, look on the spiritual level, and you'll see the real flood. It's a flood of lies coming after the woman. This is true Israel. It's coming to her awakening now.
Yes.
You see, there was a fairy tale that they taught us when we were children about Prince Charming. The princess was sleeping, and she was waiting for a kiss from the prince so she could wake up. And I believe that is happening right now with this woman,
yes.
Beautiful woman, is true Israel is just starting to wake up as to who she is.
Yes, absolutely. No question about it. And weather is being used to convey messages.
That's right.
Meaning behind the messages. That's right. Very true, Joe. Well,
thank you, Rick.
Thank you. Thanks for contributing again. And, you see the evidence of that all over. Right, the heart and soul of America right here in Kansas City, as they say, right in Texas and at the border in Arizona, California, and what is happening across the United States. And, we are really in incredible times. And, you know, one of our callers mentioned columnist D.V. Kidd a little while ago. And in her column, D.V., we had on the program. We'll have her back, by the way. May try to get her this week if possible. She's a busy lady. But she is writing about the column that she wrote a few years ago on the proper use of America's military. And she said her mailbox immediately filled up with hate-filled messages that stated that she supported terrorism, all citing the government's conspiracy theories about what supposedly happened on 9/11, and then accusations that she hated the military, even though her husband, of course, was a 27-year veteran from Vietnam. She's un-American, and she's a left-wing radical. The only thing left out was the kitchen sink. It's extremely difficult to criticize a president when our troops are in harm's way. But when that president uses lies, those floods of lies, to justify military action, we, she says, we, the people, cannot remain silent. The U.S. Constitution does not authorize Congress to steal from the people to reconstruct or rebuild any foreign country. If it's not direct funding by Congress, writing hot checks, it's stealing from the people's purse by channeling the money through the Communist United Nations, another unconstitutional travesty to fund all of these components for a one-world totalitarian government. It must stop, or the American people will find themselves in rags, you know, from riches to rags, to support this treason, this anti-American agenda. Been going on since World War II, and this doesn't mean it's right or legal. When Bush ran for president, he said, quote, "I don't think our troops ought to be used for what's called nation building." He lied. Morton Abramowitz, as you remember, and Heather Halbert correctly pointed out in a July 12, 2004 piece, quote, "No fewer than nine times over the past decade, Western powers have deployed noble rhetoric, soldiers, and taxpayer noble dollars in the service of nation building. And no fewer than nine times they have, to one degree or another, failed to build stable, self-sustaining nations." You see, nation building is not something the Constitution authorizes. Not only does it not authorize interventionism across the seas, but it does not give the president any authority to begin or sustain those programs. Those are my words, ladies and gentlemen. But D.V. goes on to say, nowhere in the U.S. Constitution does it authorize a president or Congress the authority to steal from the people's treasury to fund humanitarian efforts to build nations. Humanitarian efforts should and are funneled through private organizations. And she says the fact that there's never been enough money is the fault of these dictators, potentates, and crooks who run these countries. New World Order advocates like William Kristol, who care nothing for the U.S. Constitution, is a favorite on Fox News, beating the drum for perpetual war. Among the first to advocate the assertive use of U.S. military forces around the world were Kristol and Robert Kagan. In a 96 article in Foreign Affairs, they urged the United States to adopt a posture of, quote, benevolent global hegemony. This means actively promoting American principles of governance abroad, democracy, free markets, respect for liberty. To John Quincy Adams, advice that America should not go abroad in search of monsters to destroy, they mockingly replied, but why not? But why not? In their endorsement for foreign policy activism, Kagan and Kristol have been joined by a number of policy wonks, journalists, and academics, a group that has come to be known as the neocons. In their enthusiasm for nation building by force of arms, neither the theorists nor the practitioners have examined the historical experience with this kind of policy. They are aware that a historical record exists, but they do not take it seriously. Kristol, draped in his $1,000 suit, isn't the one ripped from his family to go fight undeclared wars for Israel. But then one has to remember Kristol's father, yes, Irving. The apple has not fallen far from the tree. Irving is considered the founder of American neoconservatism. The elder Kristol was an active Trotskyite while a student at the City College of New York, from which he graduated in 1940 with a B.A. in history. Years later, in 83, he wrote that he was proud to have been a member of the communist Trotskyite Fourth Internationale back in 1940. You see, Trotskyism is defined as the political and economic theories of communism advocated by Leon Trotsky and his followers, usually including the principle of worldwide revolution. Don't you know, as they say? Don't you catch on, beloved? Well, catch on. The laugh is on you. The laugh is on the goyim. And, beloved, as you see, Bush's latest executive order, to which we have referred copiously in the last week and a half, has some very dangerous language. If not, I don't know what is danger. He considers anyone to be a troublemaker who undermines efforts to promote economic reconstruction and political reform in Iraq, to provide humanitarian assistance to the Iraqi people. The term United States person means any United States citizen, permanent resident, alien, entity, organized under the laws of the United States or any jurisdiction within the United States or any person here in the United States. Boy, that covers all, doesn't it? He says, we'll seize your assets, your property, if you are interfering with that process of Trotskyism, one-worldism, globalism. You see? Incredible, isn't it? Roosevelt did it. Truman did it. And now Bush is doing it. It's the same formula. But it's not nation building. These are my words now. It's nation wrecking. And which nation do you think that these neocons are wrecking more than any other nation on the globe? Why, you're right. It's America. And isn't that the idea? Isn't that what I've been telling you all of these years? America must be destroyed if the New World Order is to be built. One must go down in order for the other to go up. We shall return. If you have a quick call, we'll take it if we have time. I'm having a lot of fun here. Rick Adams, Radio Avenger, 800-313-9443. Be right back.
Here we are, and we are in the final stretch of the game tonight, the ball game, which I know many people are watching all of the time. And here we are talking about a variety of issues, not one or two, but a variety. And ladies and gentlemen, state after state now is considering rejecting the Real ID Act, as we've been talking about. And the Department of Health and Human Services, of course, is saying, no, you can't do that. You cannot do that now. That's the big one out. That's right. We say no to pulling out of the Real ID Act. Because, you see, you can't be part of America anymore. You'll lose all of your privileges that we've given you since the raw deal, since the New Deal. You will have nothing. You won't be able to collect your Social Security. You won't be able to do anything if you can't identify yourself in the Real ID Act. Can't get on a plane. Can't do anything of the sort, can you? But let me tell you something. People like Eustace Mullins were telling us this a long time ago, that if you accept the raw deal and Roosevelt's communization of America in the name of saving us from the Depression and capitalism, then you were taken in on the lie. Your fathers and mothers were. Your grandpappies and grandmamas were. Because what has followed since that is a controlled society. What we have now is a result. Is a result directly of every single socialist program that has been adopted by the United States. Pure socialism. Pure socialism. Now you have a Social Security number? Uh-huh. Now you have a government that is centralized and tells you if you want to breathe the air that you breathe, we are going to demand that you identify yourself. You can really identify yourself. The Real ID Act. And just this past weekend, in all the papers, the Sunday papers, was the syndicated piece on the chip. Did you happen to catch it? And the Verichip company was mentioned. Been around for about a dozen years, 10, 12 years. And, of course, they started with the animals and the cattle and everything else. And now it's people. But it's only certain people. And people that either want it or people that volunteer or people that need it, quote, unquote, like Alzheimer's patients. And then they alluded to the fact that many of the, quote, privacy individuals, like you and me, are concerned about where it's leading. The microchip, the RFID chip. Well, this is the means by which George Bush and his controllers, his puppeteers, would love to be able to subjugate every American, every patriot, into a dictatorship. While the borders are deliberately left open, they have to be. If you're going to form a North American Union, you can't have a border. You cannot have a wall, human or otherwise. How do you like that, huh? What lies and deception as never before. We'll pick up again tomorrow night, Lord willing, 9 o'clock Central, and when we return with more Uncensored Radio Free America, only here on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Support RBN. I'm Rick Adams. Good night, everyone.